Yeah. How's mine look? Is it looking okay?
Almost.
Okay. A little bit more? Okay. That's it. Oh, hey. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Microsoft Virtual Academy.
And behind the scenes.
And this jumpstart is going to be about scripting and tool making. And actually, we call it advanced tools and scripting. And we'll talk more about what this jumpstart is going to be. My name is Jason Helmick, and to my left, the inventor of PowerShell, most of you already know, the distinguished engineer, Jeffrey Snover. Jeffrey, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Oh, awesome. We had such a great feedback from the first one of this that we did. Now, the first one we did...
Almost universally great.
Almost universally
great? Yeah, highest numbers, highest attendance.
Right.
What were the other things?
There was the highest attendance... There was a whole bunch of records that we broke with
Rick
that.
But Rick Kloss beat us on 2 points on satisfaction. So there was some unsatisfied people out there that so, hopefully they have not dialed in today.
When we get to the end, we need to beat Rick Kloss by 2 points.
Two. So yeah. Well, he beat us by two. He so beat we us beat him by two. By four.
If we beat him by four, then we own it. So do us a favor.
And Rick's make a sure friend. He'll appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't care if he appreciates it or not. Anyways. Guys, if you joined us for the first one, we were using PowerShell interactively. We were using it to get real work done and taking you through how PowerShell in the console works, how to use GitHelp and how to figure out how the pipeline works. In this one, and we'll get into some more details here, this one we're going to shift a little bit. Instead of spending our time in the console doing things in real time, we're going to move to scripting. Ooh, ah. And we're going to show you how to start getting started.
Make
start
me tingle when you say that.
Yeah. Using scripting. And we're going to show you some of the scripting language, how to put the scripting language together. But most importantly, what we're going to be doing today is showing you how to take solutions that you're making with PowerShell and turn them into actual tools.
Yeah.
And to build tools and make like a toolbox and... so that they can share them with other people and things like that. Before we get started, let's get started with some introductions. First of all, Jeffrey, let me bring up the slide here. Why don't you introduce yourself a little bit?
So I'm Jeffrey Snover, a distinguished engineer, and there you go. So now I'm also the...
There you go.
Says it all. No, I'm the lead architect for Windows Server 2000. I was the lead architect for Windows Server 2012. I'm now the lead architect for Windows Server and for the System Center data center products because we kind of have a unified organization now.
We're all very excited about that, by the way.
Yeah. Have you seen the recent blog posts? We've been rolling out the blogs about Windows Server 2012 R2, and they're really good, really clear about, hey, here's what we delivered in 2012. Here's what you told us, and here's how we responded in terms of the next set of features. So really exciting stuff.
Yeah, very excited about it. And let me go ahead and introduce myself. I'm Jason Helmick.
The Jason Helmick,
if you notice the Twitter. There's a long story behind that. No, we're not going to go there. I'm a senior technologist for Concentrated Technology, and I'm just a PowerShell aficionado. I just love PowerShell. So that's all you need to know about me. So... here's what we're going to be doing. First of all, if you want to play along and follow along today with us, you might want to grab hold of the scripts. Now, I've put together a package of scripts that there's the URL, and you're probably going, oh, crap, man, did you really expect us to type in that URL? No. Hang on. Just watch.
Oh.
Oops. Wait a minute. Hang on. Let me get my...
Need some help there?
I think I do. I'm going to take you out to...
And you're going to be learning from this guy all day. What do you think about that?
Oh, here we go. Oh, wow. That just went so wrong in so many ways. I don't even know what happened there. It's Bing all over the place. Let me just see if I can get one of these up. Guys, the slides are right here. Go out to PowerShell.org, www.powershell.org, and I put them into a blog post. It's a couple of posts down because I put them up a couple of days ago. So,
is that Don Jones? You just can't shut that guy
up. You can't shut Don Jones up.
Scroll past it all.
So right down here is you'll see Jumpstart 2, and if you click in there, I have a download for the script so that you guys can follow along with us, and you have the scripts too. I'm going to try to minimize my hand typing today because we've got a lot of scripting that we want to take a look at, so go ahead and grab those when you get a chance, and we'll be using those today. Okay. Let me... see if I can bring my slide deck back up. For some reason, things are moving a little bit slow, but we'll figure this out. Come on. You can do it. You're a big computer now. swear to God, I'll get a slide here. So here's what we're going to do today. If you take a look at our agenda, what we're going to do is we're going to get you started with scripting. Now, there's going to be some review. If you were with us in the first jump start, one of the things towards the end is we got you kind of started on the direction that we were using for this one. So this might be a little bit of review for some of you, but I know we've got a lot of new people that have joined, have joined us today. So this will be cool.
Even higher attendance than the last time, or at least registered attendance. So
yeah, as a matter of fact, guys, they're really concerned that you might overload the circuits if everybody keeps joining in. So keep joining in.
Yeah.
Because that'll be great.
That's the goal, crash the servers.
That'll be great, yeah. And we're going to go into PowerShell scripting language. Now, we're going to take you through the basics of the scripting language and some important constructs that you'll need and that you'll start working with right away. And then we're going to go into starting to build scripts and functions. Now, let me just tell you that our focus today is taking a solution that you've already created at the console and turning it into a script, but more importantly, starting to turn it into a useful tool that you can share with other people and a tool that you can use. So we're going to be taking you into what's called advanced functions. And don't let the word advanced scare you. It's just kind of a fun word to let you know that you're going to do something really cool now. And you're going to be able to create awesome tools that look and feel, well, just like commandlets, right?
Absolutely. That's the whole point.
And I have a quick question. You know, everybody's going to see this. We have the ability to, in PowerShell, make something that looks, smells, and tastes like a commandlet.
Exactly.
And I don't have to be a C# developer using Visual Studio to do this. Why'd you guys think of this? I mean, where did this come from?
Yeah, so this is a great piece of background. By the way, turns out we're not crashing the MVA, but we are crashing PowerShell.org.
So. Oh, yeah. Nice.
Hold off. Try it again.
We'll get there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so
thanks,
background.
Guys.
So here's a kind of fundamental thinking around PowerShell and scenarios. So at some point there was this like, why are you building this PowerShell thing? Why not just go figure out what the scenarios are and then implement the scenarios?
Yeah.
And so at some point we referred to this as, you know, scripting. Scripting is the anti-scenario scenario. Right? Which is to say, so here's basically the problem, right? Because I've done this a long time. My target audience, so I'm going to spend all day like shadowing you. That's a term, shadowing. I'm going to shadow you. I'm going to see what you do. I'm going to write it all down. I'm going to figure it out. And at the end of the day, I know exactly what your scenarios are. And so then I go back to the office and I spend the next 3 years implementing a solution to your scenarios. That said, half an hour after I left, all your scenarios changed,
right.
You know, you got a new boss, he says, no, we're not doing it that way anymore, or you got some new technology, or there's just a change in philosophy, whatever. Scenarios are constantly changing. So if you had something that said, you know, do my scenario, click this button, it's not going to work, okay? And so that's what the whole compositional management model is all about, to give you, and by the way, so everybody's scenarios are different because you have different politics, you have different philosophies, you have different technologies that you integrate in. When you add a user, do you just get to add the user, or do you get to add a user, but then Joe over here has to add them to the HR system, and oh, before they get access to this, you know, somebody else has to give authorization or okay it, etc. Everything's always different. And so the model, the philosophy around compositional management and PowerShell was to give you a toolbox of tools that then you can then go quickly produce a solution to scenarios as they pop up. And the whole point about this was, again, what we said in the first session was we wanted to create a world where you think about what you want, you type it, and you get it. Okay? So here's where you come in. Literally, I talked to a website, I won't tell you which one, but they're big internet presence running everything on PowerShell. And at some point, the guys were super excited about this, and they went to their operators, and they said, okay, hey, we're going to, you know, manage everything with PowerShell. And they said, okay, great. They said, how do you want to manage the system? And they said, what does that question mean? He said, well, go up to the whiteboard and type down the things you want to be able to do. And like, okay. And they said, well, you know, every Monday we want to find all the front end servers where this is the case, and then we want to restart them. He says, great. He said, what do you mean great? He says, well, that's what we'll do. What do you mean that's what we'll do? He says, well, that's what you'll type. He says, look, here, all we'll do is you put a dash between the where, and you put a squiggle bracket, and then this dollar sign underbar, and you're going to type it like that. And they're like, really? Yeah, really. So that's the point. You want to start with thinking about what things you want to think, type, do. And here's the key point. Each customer is going to want to think, type, and do something differently. So today is all about how you take the basic components of PowerShell, you use the scripting language to produce your specific things to think, type, and do.
And what's really cool about this is that the idea of you already doing something and then turning that into a tool that somebody else can use. So we're going to show you the scripting, how to make the tool and build the tool, and all the options you have with making a tool. And you're going to find that because this is built into the language and because this is written using PowerShell and PowerShell's part of the scripting language, it's pretty straightforward and it's pretty easy, and it actually becomes fun to do this. You'll type something out in real time, and then you'll just immediately turn it into a tool. It'll be that easy. So if you take a look again at our course topics, we're going to be starting with building scripts and functions and then getting into advanced functions, and you'll get to see how those work. One of the characteristics of a tool is that they have parameters, so we're going to show you some of the options this time you can do with parameters, and we're going to go back and talk about making help, because help is one of the most important things when you're making a tool. And we'll also get into things like error handling, and tools that make changes, how to get the dash confirm and what if options. And then at the very end, we're going to show you how to bundle all of this properly so that you too can have your own modules of your own tools, your own little toolbox, if you will.
By the way, stay on the slide a second. So it's very interesting to note, what we're talking about here is what we call the admin development model. Right, and we're very explicit about this. And the idea is, I think I mentioned in the first session, you know, Bruce Payette, superstar Bruce Payette, said, hey, the average lifetime, or the lifetime of 99% of scripts start at the command prompt and terminate with carriage return.
Right.
Okay, so that is to say a lot of things are done very ad hoc. Now then, you say, well, geez, I do this and I do this and I do this and I do this a lot, and I'm getting repetitive stress injury. And I don't want a repetitive stress injury because Muffy and Buffy need to go to college, so I need this job. So what you do is you say, okay, well, hey, put that in a file, and instead of typing it out each time, you run the file. Oh, great. And then you say, well, but it's almost right, except it's not quite, because sometimes I have to go and I open up that file and I change the name of a computer or the name of something over and over again. Well, then you parameterize it. And, oh, okay, well, that's great, so now it's parameterized. And then you might have it more and more levels of parameterization to make it wider and wider useful. And then at some point you say, hey, Jason, I heard about this script you're working on, and can I see it? And you just say, oh no, it's embarrassing. just give me a couple minutes and I'll give it to you. And at that point, you're going to share it with somebody, so you make it a little bit more formal, kind of clean it up, use proper verbs, maybe even document something. And then you share it with somebody. And you're like, hey, that's pretty cool. And then we decide, hey, well, we're going to run this on a production server. So this is no longer just this little private thing. You're going to run it on a production server. So at that point, you want to say, well, okay, wait, I need a little bit more formal, I need to have documentation,
right.
I need to have help. And then you say, hey, this is quite useful. We're going to make it available to other people in forms of modules. So if you think about it, that's what we're doing here. We're going to walk you through step by step this progression of formality. It's perfectly fine to have, like, I'll tell you what, the number of times that I write scripts called T, because they're all called T. T. Temp. It's just T. It's really easy to type. T. And I go. And then at some point, it's like, okay, well, I'm going to do something with it. And you just walk through each one of those steps. And so that's what we're going to do with you today.
And then along these lines, just to set some expectations for you, if you take a look at our expectations slide, look, this is designed for the IT pro, but if you're a developer, thanks for joining us, because this is a great opportunity to see the cool things that you can do with PowerShell, and there's all kinds of interesting ways that you might find fascinating with PowerShell as well. This is kind of high speed, but today is going to be scripting, and you've got all the examples that we're going to be using. I just want to point out a couple of things for you as some supporting material. First of all, I've mentioned this in the last one, and I'll mention it again now. PowerShell.org, as long as it doesn't crash today, has a great forum site where you can go out and ask questions at the forums. There's wonderful people that are answering questions there. And you can do this at any time. Also coming soon to the Microsoft Marketplace, there is a Microsoft course called 55038 that is a full five-day version of going through this step by step by step, plus more than what we're able to do today, all on toolmaking, which also ties into, some of you may already have this, Learn PowerShell Toolmaking in a Month of Lunches by Don Jones and Jeff Hicks, which is a great book that also goes through all of this on making tools.
Yeah, by the way, that is a great book. It really captures that spirit of translating things from, instead of just focusing in on doing, getting the job done. So here's the thing. Each of us, you know, everybody's got a job. In reality, you don't. You have two jobs. You have two jobs. So the first job is the one that you know about. You're supposed to get something done. Oh, the server has to have this installed on it. I need to do this. I need to do that. We all have that job. But there's a second job. And that second job is to do the first job in a way that maximizes your integrated lifetime earnings, which is to say, we all took calculus, or most of us took calculus, you know, earnings over time. You know, maximize that area under the curve, which is to say that there are some ways of doing your job which, fine, they get you through the year, but then next year, what are you going to get paid? Or if you need another job, what kind of job are you going to get and what are you going to get paid? And there's some that minimize that. Okay, that minimizes your pay. And then there's those that maximize your pay, which is to say, hey, I'm going to do this job and I'm going to accomplish it, but I'm going to do it with a script. And I'm going to do it with a script that means I can do it across a large set of systems and I can do this and I can be more productive. Guess what? If you're more productive, you get more money. It's pretty simple, okay? And then, by the way, and if your employer doesn't get that, like, hello, McFly, I'm being more productive than these guys. I should get this year's big bonus, you know, big chunk of the bonus queue. Like, if they don't get that, you put your paper out on the street, and other people will say, oh, this guy's really productive. We'll hire him, and we'll pay him that much more. So anyway, so those are your two jobs. Get the job done, and get the job done in a way that maximizes your integrated lifetime earnings. Don Jones' book, it's like super clear on this point. It's all about that. Become a tool maker, not just a solve your today's problem.
Yeah, and your job role has definitely changed in this respect. Is we're not just doing real-time administration now. Now you're the one solving real business problems and turning them into tools for others. And so that's what our focus is going to be today. So join the MVA community. Those of you that are watching this, either you're live or you're, excuse me, you're watching the recording, you've already started to join the MVA community. By the way, if you notice towards the bottom here, here's the special code if you want to get some extra points for this event. It expires 9/2, so make sure you tell all your friends about this as the video comes up online. Questions or comments, you guys have access to the chat room, and we are very fortunate to have wonderful MVPs sharing their time again to help answer questions in the chat room. So please feel free to ask your questions, and hopefully we'll get answers out there for you. Now, let's get started into our first module. Dun-da-da-dun! Get started scripting. Yeah, I know, it's. I was trying to make music out of it, so... Here's what we're going to do.
That almost worked.
It almost worked. here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about the purpose of PowerShell. And the purpose, wait a minute, I missed a slide. The purpose of PowerShell, we'll take a look at some reminders on getting PowerShell V3 installed, launching PowerShell, and some of the security aspects so that we can run scripts in here. So let's get started with, and this might be familiar if you saw the previous show, the purpose to PowerShell. And actually, we've already been talking about this. Its purpose is so that you can do quick real-time management in large scale, and its purpose also is so that once you've done it, well, then automate it. Stop typing it. You know, I type in something once, that's going to be the last time I type that thing in, because if I know if I'm going to need to do it again, I'm going to want to automate it. So I'm going to want to put it into a script, and if I want to help my fellow admins out, I'm going to want to make a tool out of it. So we're going to be the tool makers this time. And by the way, that picture there, that is me with hair. No, it's not me with hair.
On the right or the left?
Well, see, that's just it. Everybody gets confused between the right or the left is which one is. So using PowerShell, we're going to make our lives much easier in tool making. So some notes on installing PowerShell. We went through this in the previous episode, but it's worth talking about again. PowerShell V3 currently runs on Windows 8 and Server 2012 and also on Windows 7 SP1. And Server 2008 SP2 or Server 2000 R2 SP1. Boy, that's a mouthful. That's why I had to write it all out. Now you can download this. This is version 3 is referred to as the Windows Management Framework, and I have a link there for you where you can download it. Now guys, take a moment and read the instructions for this. A couple of things for you. First of all, you're going to need the full version of the .NET 4.0 framework, not the client install. So make sure you install the full version of it so that the update can run and you can get PowerShell installed. And something else I want to point out to you is that if you're installing V3, understand that we're working on Windows 8 boxes and working with Server 2012. Because Windows 8 and Server 2012 comes with more modules and more commandlets, there are some commandlets that we have that if you're on a Windows 7 box, they just weren't available then. Just sorry, they're not there. Today, you're going to see that we're going to be focused on scripting, and it's going to be the same across all your different versions of Windows. Even if you are, and you should not be, but if you are running Windows XP and you have PowerShell V2, it's all going to be pretty much the same there too. So you're going to be fine, but, well, you're not fine. You need to get off of XP, but besides that, well, okay, so.
McFly.
Yeah, I know. Please get off of XP for crying out loud. So launching PowerShell. Now, guys, let me just do a quick demonstration here with the Magic Computer. And launching PowerShell, if you're on Windows 8, hit that cool little Windows key and start typing the word PowerShell, and you'll find, da-da-da-da, there's PowerShell. Now, I always pin it to the taskbar, so right-click and pin that bad boy to the taskbar. Once it's pinned, let me get back out of here. Don't do this. Don't, and I left-click on it. We had this conversation in the first one. If it comes up and says Windows PowerShell, you got the wrong thing. What you want is, let me close this, right click, and say run as administrator. There's your PowerShell console for you. And that'll bring it up. Notice it says administrator up here. That gives me all the authority that I need to be able to work with PowerShell. Something else to keep in mind is we're going to be working with the ISE, and we're going to talk about the ISE in just a few minutes, but I just want to point out if you right click here, you can also say run the ISE as administrator. And so we'll be spending a lot of time in that tool today. Now I have to show you in the slide, if you're using an older OS, then you may have to click on start and go navigate to accessories, and then you'll find Windows PowerShell in there. But if you're hip and cool and on Windows 8, hip and cool, then you get to hit the Windows key and get the tile and life is all good. Now, security. Jeffrey.
Yeah.
We need to be able to run scripts. And we talked about this in the last show, but we need to talk about this again.
Yep.
We need to be able to run scripts. And there has been a lot of times in the past where some scripting languages have been very dangerous in the way that they've been implemented.
Yes.
VBScript. No, and bad things have happened.
Yep.
Now, you guys put in some additional controls. Now, they're not so much, you know, hardcore security goals, but they're kind of to prevent somebody from making foolish mistakes and things like that. So talk about a couple of these, like that PowerShell scripts don't run by default?
Exactly. So the first thing to be aware of is that we developed, started working on PowerShell after Bill Gates's famous trustworthy computing memo.
Right.
So we had seen lots of bad stuff going on, and in particular, the use of scripting languages, I love you.vbs.
I love you too, man. No, sorry.
Later. I love you.vbs and caused a problem. So we knew we had to pay special attention to this. So that's why when you double-click on a PowerShell file, it does not run the script. What it does is it brings it up in Notepad or an editor of your choice, okay? So too, we have this execution policy. Now, the original execution policy was restricted. What restricted meant was that you can do interactive sessions, but you can't run scripts. Okay, and the whole notion, the whole philosophy around PowerShell security model is to make you aware and to make explicit decisions about things. And so whenever there's something that has a security ramification, in general, we tell you about it, what the ramification is, and then ask you to confirm. Like, are you sure you want to do that? So when you change the security policy to say, oh, I'd actually like to run scripts, we tell you, okay, here's the risks associated with that. And we have different ways you can run scripts. One is to say, free-for-all. Wherever it comes from, just run it. You know, drunken sailor mode. We should have renamed that.
Drunken sailor mode. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring that slide up, and I should change it to say drunken sailor mode, and the one he's talking about here is unrestricted.
Exactly. Brought out the ether and having some fun.
Yeah.
Okay. The mezcal.
Yeah, the mezcal.
We had a conversation last night about mezcal. Anyway, so that's that. Or remote signed. And it was associated with each one in the help's actually quite good on this topic. We tell you what it does and what the risks are and what the benefits are. And then you make the appropriate decision. Now, the interesting thing about this is we've been changing things. So
as
we have more and more coverage and it becomes more and more an integral part of managing Windows Server, what we first did was turned out remoting was off by default. We turned it on by default for a server because when you manage lots of servers, we wanted to minimize the effort to do what we now consider to be a mainstream scenario,
right,
which is to script and automate lots of computers. The second thing we did, and this is in Windows Server 2012 R2, is we changed the execution policy. So now the default execution policy is remote signed.
Which I think is spectacular. And guys, let me show you why this is kind of spectacular. First of all, keep in mind that when you make a script, it's just a text file. And what's going to happen is you double click it, it launches in Notepad. Could you change that file association? Could you make it launch in something else? Or could you make it actually just run PowerShell and run the script? You can, but you shouldn't. You should just leave that alone. That protects you in case you or one of your friends in the office accidentally downloads a script that could be bad. So
yeah, if you ever see somebody change that association and run it with double click, give them a dope slap. Like, shun them.
Major, because it's stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah.
So by default, you're not even allowed to run scripts. Well, and that's what we have these execution policies for. And I'm going to show you setting my execution policy here in just a second. But as Jeffrey mentioned, restricted is what's on by default on everything but the new server 2012 R2, because quite honestly, when you're managing servers, one of the first things you have to do is turn on an execution policy for scripting, and to have the new default changed for server 2012 R2 makes life a lot easier.
You know what it is? Basically, we're just constantly evaluating that risk-reward ratio, and there are so many things. PowerShell is becoming such a mainstream way of doing things. The benefit is very high. And frankly, we just have now years and years and years of experience with PowerShell. Basically, we haven't been having any security issues. So we're getting more and more comfortable with the risks associated
with
it.
Well, when you announced it at TechEd, I just was beside myself, because that's one of the first things that you want to manage your environment. Okay, first of all, we have to turn on the execution policy on your servers.
Yeah.
So now, guys, if you're not at 2012 R2 yet, and you're not, you're gonna need to set this policy. Let's take a look at a couple of these. Unrestricted, we've already talked about bad. This means you can run anything that you write or that you download from the internet. Folks, be really careful about what you download from the internet. It can be dangerous. In fact, it could be quite dangerous. So it's good to always know what you're going to run before you run it. However, they put in some helpful things, such as all signed and remote signed. And what the signed means, and we actually talked about this in the last episode, signed means that the script has been signed with a digital signature. In other words, there was a certificate that was used to sign it. This certificate identifies who this person is when they made this script. And so what happens is that if they wrote bad stuff in there, we know who you are and we can hunt you down. So a signed script gives you a better level of confidence with where the script's coming from. Now, in this case, the execution policy is stating for remote signed, you can write anything you want and it doesn't have to be signed. But if you download it, if it gets tagged from the internet, and as we said in the last one, you do know that we know everything you download, right? We do. We've been there a long time. Even you XP people, we know. It gets tagged and I know. You're scared. Remote sign means anything you download, we're not going to let you run just automatically. You're going to get prompted. You're going to say, hey, look, this has not been signed. This is no. So that's probably the best policy for you today.
Hey, Jason, you know what? That was an awesome explanation.
Yeah?
But it was wrong.
What time was wrong?
What's wrong? You just described the VBScript execution policy. So VBScript says, VBScript has a mode, they don't have the notion of remoting or not, but they have this mode that says you can only run signed scripts. And you can set that, and it'll only run signed scripts. And so what it does is it says, hey, is this script signed? PowerShell is not that. PowerShell's remote execution script signed mode says, I'll only run scripts that are signed by people I trust. Now, there's a huge difference between those two.
So yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So by people that you trust means what?
That means that not just someone did it. So in VBScript, you can run some evil thing, but you can find the evil person that destroyed all your systems and say, oh, some VeriSign knows who it is. What we say is, no. First, it has to be someone that you can identify, and then it comes up and says, hey, currently you don't trust things from evilcorp.com can be known by VeriSign. That doesn't mean you don't want to be running their code, right?
Right.
So you say, hey, no, I want to trust everything from Microsoft, and I want to trust everything from my internal IT department. They'll sign things. But then if I see some script coming from evilcorp.com, even though it's signed, don't run it.
Which is an important distinction because you have a much better control over this. Thank you. Thank you very much. So let me show you. Now, guys, you can set an execution policy by using a group policy. Let me show you how to do it on a standalone. We have a couple of commandlets for this. Mine's already been set for today, but let me just kind of show you. I'm going to go out here to run as administrator, and I'm going to type get execution policy. Mine is now set for, is currently set at remote sign, so I can run some scripts. If you check yours and yours says restricted, well, you can change that with set execution policy and put in remote sign. Now, when you make a script, you too will be able to use it. Now, it's going to come up and ask you to make sure, because it is a security change, to go ahead and say yes, and then you're ready to rock and roll, and we can start scripting now and actually running them. So, now that we have an execution policy and we can run some scripts, let's talk about running scripts. There's all kinds of ways to run scripts. And what's funny is I don't have a test script, so I'm going to make a quick test script and show you a couple of ways to run them. And we did this also in the first show, but let's see here. I'm going to do, let's do this, let's see, Notepad, because we'll talk about the ISC in a second, and I'm going to make a simple script called getService-namebits. It'll get it. I'm going to do file, save as, and I'm going to go out here to, I've got this scripts folder, and I'm going to save it as test dot, and the extension for scripts is PS1. Hit save. Now I'd sure like to run this. Well, again, PowerShell has some built-in security around this. And Jeffrey, help me out with this. It's for, I have to do one of two things. I have to either type the full path,
yep,
to the script, and note tab completion will help me with this. Why is it again that I have to type this full path?
Even though you're in that directory.
Even though I'm there. All right. But we have shortcuts for this, but why do I have to put in this full path?
Well, you don't have to put in the full path, but you have to put in an explicit path.
In an explicit path.
Yes. So concretely, you cannot execute things in your current directory by just giving their name. And this prevents what's called a lurking attack. This has been known in Unix forever, where an evil person would put like a file, an executable file in a directory called print working directory, or CD. And if you went to that directory and then you tried to say, where am I, print working directory, or CD, you would first run their executable. So this is called a lurking attack. And so we fixed that lurking attack. You can't do that.
And so here's what's going to happen, guys. If you try to run the script like I just made, see, it's sitting out here. See, I just made test PS1. If you try to run that script by typing test PS1, no, the term test PS1 is not recognized as the name of a commandlet, a function, or a script file. And this is confusing to a lot of folks. A lot of people kind of go, well, wait a minute, I just typed it in and it's not running. Well, they tell you here at the bottom how to fix your problem. They also give you a reference for your GitHub with the about underscore help. But let me show you. There's two ways you can do this. You can type the full path. If you're not currently sitting in the folder of the script, you can type the full path, and it's scripts, and run it this way. Ta-da! Or if you are in that location, there you go, and tab completion again will help you out, and you can run the script this way.
But you should remember to move your screen down so the video doesn't clip you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got to make sure that I have my screen down far so you can see my shiny head and all this. So I'll
see the text.
I'll make sure I'm not typing over here so you guys don't freak out.
Okay.
Now, guys, I don't have a function in here yet, but we will do this later on. We also have a way of running scripts that you'll see today that'll keep the functions as we build them, keep them loaded into memory so that we can work with them. We don't have to do this much today because we're going to be using the ISE. And the ISE, well, let's talk about the ISE because that's next on our agenda anyways. We're not going to use Notepad to write our scripts in. Now, if you want to use Notepad, I feel sorry for you. But we want to use something better than Notepad. And something better than Notepad, I wonder if the PowerShell team helped us out with this too. And yes, they did. Watch, I'm going to right-click and say Run ISE as Administrator. So Jeffrey, we've got four easy payments of absolutely free scripting tool here.
Yep.
And this scripting tool is more than Notepad.
Yes.
This is a lot more than Notepad. So let's talk about this a little bit and some of the features that we have here. Now, when it comes up by default, it shows I've got a scripting pane up here where I can start typing. And I've got a console down here that I can test stuff in. And what's all this over here for the commands?
So this is a new feature called Show Command. And it allows you to explore the commands. And you can type in things, look for things, look by things, by module, look for name.
Let's look for one of my favorite ones, Get Service.
Right, and then when you click on it, we show you these parameters, right?
Like
and so notice that they're tabs. Those are the parameter sets. And by the way, this is just a wonderful tool to really go explore things. Now go to the second one, display name. You notice the star next to display name. That says it's mandatory. And if you hover over it, it tells you it's mandatory. So then you can start filling things in. And then when you do that.
Let's do this because I don't. Can I put a star in there?
Yeah,
can I put
absolutely.
A star in there?
And, and then you can either run it, insert it, or copy it.
Well, I like this. Let's try running it. Oh, looky, looky, looky. And I didn't get a result because, guys, I don't remember what the name of the service is, but that's or what the beginning of it. Oh, I think it's background or something like that.
Background.
Back. Let me do that. And we'll run it, and you can see it run in the console. Oh, looky. It ran. Yay. But here, insert. Oops, let me click up here. You can copy this and paste it or just insert it. Watch, I'm going to hit Control V. Look at that. It made my commandlet for me and put it right up here. So actually, this is pretty cool to explore
it really
and define
is a,
things.
You know, I've been working with PowerShell for a while now.
Just a while.
And yet, I use this thing all the time to go explore, and I'm constantly finding new things.
Well, and so guys, go ahead and use this today, but for screen size and stuff, I'm going to close this pane today, but I want to show you some other things. First of all, you probably noticed, now watch this, I'm going to go up here and I'm going to start typing. This is really cool. This is much better than Notepad at this point, because look, I'm getting this IntelliSense that's helping me find this, and I can tab complete, and do you see what started happening there? It's helping me remember what the parameters are, how to use them. I can go in and start typing. And you'll also notice that with the IntelliSense, we also get color syntax. Now, one of the things that has just really impressed me, and I remember you had made mention of this, just as the beta had just come out and I hadn't played with the ISE yet, and you had made mention, we were talking about the console at some conference, and I said, you know, I love the console, but the console, you know, it feels, it's old, you can't modify it, you can't use Control C and Control V to copy stuff out of it. Wouldn't it be cool to have a...
Can't put Unicode characters in it?
Can't put Unicode... Wouldn't it be cool to have a cooler console than the current console? And you said, well, have you launched the ISE? And this was for version 3, or version 2, I'm trying to remember now. And...
Some version.
And guys... You've noticed this. Watch, this console that's here, looky, I love this. It also has the IntelliSense, and it has the color syntaxing, and it's beautiful. And you can test things here and then go, oh, this is awesome, I want this. Watch, Control-C, and then Control-V, cut and paste. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful. So. Do you think that most admins will be using this console more than the older one?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely more than the older one. I mean, the cases where you still use the older one is either if you're sitting at a server core box and it has the console. Although, frankly, the better way to do that is to get on a client box and use remote PowerShell to access it. Yeah, that's probably the only case you'll use it. By the way, I should note that PowerShell ISE is just one of a number of great ISEs out there. A number of the third-party products have fantastic tools that go well beyond the capabilities of that which we ship in PowerShell ISE.
And what I like to tell a lot of admins is there are some great third-party tools. I'm a huge proponent of Sapien's tools, their PrimalScript and their PowerShell Studio, because they also solve particular business problems. But when you're just getting started, this is the tool to start with. And then when you start to run into those business problems that these great IDEs and these great ISEs solve, that's a great time to move to those. And there's plenty of information out there on when and why you'd want to move to them. You know, think of it as the ISE is much better than Notepad. But think of some of these third-party tools as the Visual Studios of PowerShell as well.
There's quite a few out there, and if you just go to the PowerShell.org.
PowerShell.org has a bunch of them listed. You can also just ask questions, and people can help you check out and find all the different ones that are available to you.
Yep.
Now, a couple of other things about the ISE before we take a break. There's a couple of options up here I want to show you guys. This gives you your script pane and a console, and this is probably the view that I'm going to be in most of today. However, you can also have it go side by side, and a lot of people like this because if you have two monitors, you put that line right in between them, and then you get PowerShell on one side and a script pane on the other, which is really cool because, as you're going to see, the best thing to do is you're going to use your PowerShell kung fu skills, and you're going to get event log. You're going to solve the problem first. Log name, system, give me newest, 3. And when you've solved the problem, now you're going to, you're going to copy this over, and you're going to paste it in here, and you're going to save it as a script so that you don't have to type it all again. And we're going to do that and show you how to make that even cooler by turning it into a tool. Now, the other one that I usually use on my desktop is where they're maximized. This is where you get a full screen for it. And I also like this view to have the command pane up because it gives me a nice view and I can explore with the command pane up. The other cool thing that I like about this is Control R. And I'm going to use Control R. There's also a button over here that will do it as well, but Control R will flip between the two. And this makes it so that you can have a full-size console, you can work here, you can cut and paste from here, and then paste back over into your full-size scripting pane. However, I'm going to go back to this one. Anything else we should show them before we take a break and get into the hardcore stuff?
No, I think this is the good stuff.
This is good?
Yeah, the basics.
Yep. Yeah,
you'll see more. We'll get into debugging, I'm sure, at some point. That's cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically PowerShell ISE is your kind of bare bones environment. They're third-party ones with much richer capabilities, but it's a great environment to do your own scripting and debugging and exploration of the environment. That's really what it was meant for, is to just increase the volume of things, get people off Notepad. We found just a shocking number of people writing scripts in Notepad, and honestly, we were just embarrassed.
Yeah, Notepad is not the way to go. And since this is 4 easy payments of free, get started with this. And this is all you'll need today as we work through getting with starting all of our scripting stuff. So what we're going to do here is in a moment we're going to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to start getting into the scripting language itself. And so we're going to take you through some of the basic parts of the scripting language that you're going to need. These are also some of the most powerful parts, and you're going to see us use it all day long. If statements and loops and for each and all kinds of stuff as we start building tools. So take 10 and come back and see us in 10.
Yeah, because when we come back, we're going to get right into the meat of it. So
make sure you download those scripts. Because you're going to need them. It'll be helpful.